This time on a Saturday here on 720 ABC Perth, you'll know we like to have a look at some of the stories of the week. And sometimes when James Fairbairn comes in, we talk about some of the stories that you might have missed during the week. James Fairbairn is from openyoureyesnews.com and is with us this morning. Hello.
Morning, James.
We've missed these stories. I know we've missed these stories because you do your detective work to find them and bring them to our attention, and it is essential that you do. Let's start with your first story.
I've got a great team of volunteers who look at 200 different news websites every single day. So they do that all day long, so that we benefit. Not all day long, but they have ways and means.
They scour them out, and you found a good story or two today.
Okay, yeah. First one. This is from PhysOrg, the scientific journal, and it's new research from Northeastern University in Germany, which is linking mercury to dementia and Alzheimer's.
Where will we find mercury?
Okay, where will we find mercury? It is obviously one of the most toxic natural substances. It's a heavy metal which evaporates at room temperature, turns into gas, enters the body and crosses the blood-brain barrier. So it gets trapped inside the brain where it accumulates over time, hence obviously causing Alzheimer and dementia moving forward. Now, where you can find it is a lot of food out of the sea, because there's a lot of mercury has been dumped in the oceans. Get it amalgam dental fillings. You're getting those wonderful energy-saving light bulbs that you can only buy now in Bunnings. They're absolutely chock-a-block full of mercury.
So and other stores I ought to hasten to add.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry. And if you drop one of those, you certainly are well advised not to just sweep it up with your hand, you know, brush it
off
with your hands.
So they're only dangerous if broken?
Yep, if broken. Okay. Yep. Then you've got obviously a lot of mercury emissions coming from coal-burning power plants, which then enter the food chain from obviously the pollution. But particularly where we're getting it nowadays in our modern lives is from vaccines. Take the free winter flu and swine flu vaccines. Now, they contain, according to the ingredients on the side of the packet, around 50 micrograms per half a mil dose. Now, what the Australian Environmental Protection Agency guidelines on mercury are saying that the maximum you should have is 0.001 microgram per litre. So that's per litre. So effectively, for those of you who haven't got a calculator in front of you, the difference between the EPA standards for what's considered to be a dangerous dose of mercury in liquid and the amount that appears in a single vaccine dose is staggeringly then 1,000 times higher than what is considered dangerous and in environmental exposure.
So how can this possibly be allowed?
It's a preservative. Mercury is used as a preservative in vaccines, not just in the flu vaccines, but in normal vaccines as well. And obviously in a hot climate like Australia, they don't want the vaccine going off before it gets injected inside you. Now, let's not forget also that a very large portion of vaccines now were given to children. I know when I was a kid and you were a kid, we probably had about five or six vaccines for things which were potentially fatal to us. Nowadays, the average child, before they make it to school, has 25 vaccines. Each one of those is going to have a little bit of dose of mercury. So there's long-term potential health implications there from this research.
That is a very worrying story. You're not here to give us solutions. You're here merely just to report on some of the stories that we might have missed. You might want to delve further into that one if you're concerned about the state of Alzheimer's, dementia, and the roots of.
The roots of indeed.
Now, next story.
Next up, food price inflation. Now, it's not something we're noticing here much in Australia, though I'm sure if you go into the supermarket, you'll always complain, everything's so expensive.
But, you know, I think, though, that people would say in the last few years everything has nigh on doubled.
Absolutely. And it's okay for us in, you know, a relatively affluent part of the world. But obviously for 2 billion people in the world,
it's, who aren't,
then it's obviously a significant problem.
Now, and what sort of changes are they seeing?
Well, the UN this week warned that food prices could rise by 10 to 20% next year after poor harvests and unexpected rundown of global reserves. So more than 70 African or Asian countries will be the worst hit, according to the Food and Agricultural Organization.
What sort of commodities in particular?
We're talking the main staples. So we're talking corn, we're talking rice, we're talking wheat, and then plenty of other things as well, like cotton and other non-food stuffs as well, which are becoming short supply.
But this is only going to increase. This is never going to change now, is it? We're going to have more people on the world wanting, you know, ever more food.
Well, over the last 100 years, obviously, our food production has gone up exponentially and managed to keep up with population growth. And obviously, that's obviously one of the challenges for is to keep that up.
But as the moment, climate kicks in and changes around the world.
Climates always change, and you know, harvests always can change. Sometimes you can have good ones, sometimes you can have bad ones. Now, at the moment, though, it's been obviously combined obviously with other issues like increasing fuel costs and so forth, which again is impacting. Then there was the forest massive fires they had in Russia this year, which destroyed a large amount of Russian grain. So what you're seeing, therefore, is that you know, you've got a food crisis coming up. Now, they reckon this will be worse than the 2007 food crisis, which saw food riots in more than 25 countries, 100 million people extra being hungry in the world. But this is amazingly not just a third world problem. According to Reuters this week, the number of US households reportedly getting emergency food from the food from the federal food pantry, as it's called, almost doubled between 2007 and 2009.
Gosh.
Now, just to give you some idea of how many people we're talking about, we're talking one in seven US households is on food stamps. This is the richest country in the world, and you're talking 5.6 million households are on food stamps.
Amazing. So. It's worrying. And you know, not far from now, we'll also have water wars as well, which will be something you'll be reporting, I'm sure,
potentially,
in due course.
But then again, there's a inventor here in Perth, actually, who has invented a piece of technology which actually extracts water directly from the air. If you think the air around you is mostly water,
yes,
a large portion of humidity, and this inventor here in Perth has actually invented a technology. It works a bit like an air conditioner. It's actually takes out the water out of the air. It's solar powered, completely green, and just never ending supply of water.
And that wasn't even on your list today.
It wasn't, and it's a lot cheaper than a desal plant.
Oh, controversial.
Indeed.
James Furman is with us as we look at some of the stories you might have missed this week, unearthing some of the very interesting stories from around the world. Let's turn to another fascinating story that you found.
Okay, climate change. Now, this, I think, need to file under covering all the bases. As you know, obviously, the global climate change industry is worth billions and billions of dollars. And there is a degree of trepidation within that industry that with the sun, as we've previously reported, moving into what could well be quite a slow cycle and therefore potentially reducing global temperatures. Obviously, there's a few threats to obviously that industry. But luckily, help is at hand for the industry. According to Reuters this week, a Russian team of scientists at the Potsdam Institute for Climate Impact Research, who presumably rely on climate change for their entire funding, have come up with the conclusion that climate change will actually lead to colder winters, which kind of covers all the bases there, because if climate change causes hotter winters, that's caused by climate change. If climate change causes colder winters, that's also caused by climate change and not by things just getting colder. So you've got that happening as well. Meanwhile, on Wall Street, according to the Wall Street Journal, New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg, and he's obviously a multi-billionaire who owns Bloomberg Publishing, told a group of chief executives that he's strongly in favour of carbon tax and carbon trading. Mr. Bloomberg, speaking to the Wall Street Journal CEO Council, said that the US needs to reduce its dependence on foreign oil. If, and quote him here, if you want to stop sending your money to terrorists. So he's equating climate change and carbon taxes with terrorism now, which is fantastic. And therefore he said the answer is we need a carbon tax. Now, he's been very, very critical of the US, what he describes as weak US proposals for a cap and trade scheme, and says we need to, you know, need to have a lot more. But by an amazing coincidence, the main companies that would obviously massively profit from this carbon trading scheme, to the tune of something like $3 trillion a year, according to the Times of London, is how much this whole market would be worth, are the big Wall Street banks, such as Goldman Sachs and Merrill Lynch, who obviously were in his audience and are rather influential. So you've got a fair few very, very influential people there pushing the agenda and are going to make an awful lot of money out of the agenda. But luckily, I say the scientists have come up with the right solution again just to make sure all the bases are covered on that
you
one.
You always sound so sceptical. I don't know whether it's just you, you know, by nature, or just the fact that you are unearthing these stories that you just question a little, don't you?
One has to. When one sees as much as we do in the worldwide media, then yes, one does become a little bit sceptical. And I suppose that's what Open Your Eyes News is all about.
Well, it's good. And there are a lot of people who, of course, are always interested in t'other side. It's not always the side we see in the mainstream press. And it's appreciated that you dig them out for us.
My pleasure.
Fantastic. Thank you for those. Three crackers this morning. And we'll chat to you again in a few weeks.
Thank you, James.
James Fairbairn from OpenYourEyesNews.com. Coming up to seven. Just quickly after seven, we'll be talking about how we can live in a sanitised, say-nothing-to-offend society. Jason Clark with us in around about 10 minutes from now. And then Talking Tech with Jason Jordan. He'll be with us at 7:30 here on 720 ABC Perth. It's 7 o'clock.